Hi, this is Mike.
And Nathan.
And this is the Third Option Podcast.
This podcast is for individuals who are seeking biblical truth in a noisy, chaotic world of opinions and points of views. Every day we hear politicians, pastors, coworkers, family members, neighbors, and the internet tell us how we should think and what to believe.
Our goal is to give you a third option based on the ancient truths of the Bible. Welcome to this week's podcast.
All right, so this week we're going to be talking about ethnocentric identity.
Woo.
Yeah, pulling out the big words.
That's the kind of topic everybody wants to hear about.
We first have
to explain what it means, because I don't think anybody knows what that means unless you're in some weird social college class.
But as we'll kind of flesh it out, you probably do know what this is, just by other names and stuff like
that's
that.
That's right, yep.
And so we're going to be talking about whether it's good or bad, kind of weighing those two things. So first we're going to go to the definition. And we're going to look at what's the definition to ethnocentrism. And it says it is the act of judging another culture based on preconceptions that are found in values and standards of one's own culture. Ethnocentric behavior involves judging other groups relative to the preconceptions of one's own ethnic group or culture, especially regarding language, behavior, customs, and religion. These aspects or categories are distinctions that define each ethnicity's unique cultural identity. So, basically what it's saying is that, you know, you come from a certain culture.
Yep.
And you shouldn't judge another culture based upon your culture's value system or your culture's customs and behaviors versus their culture and customs and behaviors. You shouldn't say that mine are better than theirs because it's just different. And so some examples that will be given to kind of prove this are things like they'll talk about chairs. Like if you go to other parts of the world, they won't have chairs. You know, but that doesn't mean that they're necessarily, like, lower than you, because you come from a culture with chairs. It's just different. Some people don't see the value.
Are we talking about, like, things we sit on, Nathan? Like,
yeah,
chairs?
Yep.
I mean, they really don't have chairs? See,
yeah,
I'm already judging them because they don't have chairs.
Yeah, lots of other cultures don't have chairs and stuff.
I don't even like sitting on the floor.
Yeah, like tables.
When you're a big man, you don't want to sit on the floor.
Well,
it's awful.
Yeah, so, well, it's just, I don't know, it's just the way.
It's hard to get up, and it kind of hurts your body because I'm out of shape.
Well,
and
part of that, they would say, is like in cultures without chairs, they actually develop their legs.
Oh, absolutely. They're probably a lot healthier.
They're great
than
at squatting, for instance, and they have that muscle structure developed, whereas we don't.
Yeah.
We also have, like, bowel issues and stuff like that that they think
comes from sitting. Because we sit in these comfy chairs all the time.
And not
maybe we need to go outside and sleep on a rock someday.
Because your
like
body
help
was
ourselves.
Designed to move.
Right.
And stuff like that. And so it's not. But anyways, so they're talking about how, you know, you would go there and be like, wow, this culture is, you know, not as advanced as us because they don't have chairs.
Yep.
And how that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
You know, that doesn't mean that their culture is bad and your culture's good, or they kind of talk about in India, like the view of the cow. So like the cow is seen as, you know, really valuable, and they'll just like walk through wherever they want. And, you know, cars and traffic and stuff will have to stop to let the cow through.
Yeah, I don't think you get to eat steak there, right? No steak?
Yeah, usually in Hinduism, they're vegetarians.
Right. Yeah. So does that mean they don't drink the milk either, right?
No, that'd be vegan. So like a vegetarian would do like
I don't know my stuff, I guess.
Milk and dairy products. But then they'll talk about all the value and benefits that happen in their culture because they do that with their cattle. So okay. There's like benefits and positives, like, because you'll be watching the cow and it'll just poop as it's walking. And you're like, it's just, you know, feces everywhere and stuff like that. Like, what are they doing? But people will actually collect the feces and then use it as fuel to like burn and stuff like that.
Okay.
So people get benefit from it. And then there's just, there's all these other side benefits. But it's just kind of given the example of, just because a culture is different doesn't mean that it's wrong or less than your culture, and you shouldn't just assume that your culture is the best and, you know, go around judging everybody else.
The problem I see is, just because, okay, for example, I have an example of this, I think. So I drink cow milk, and our cheese is made from cows. Mm-hmm. But if you traveled somewhere where they didn't really have cows, but they had goats, they might offer you goat milk. Well, goat milk kind of grosses me out. You know why? Because I've never drank goat milk, okay? It's a pretty simple thing. I don't know if I'd want to drink goat milk. Now, I'm okay with drinking out of an udder of a cow because I'm used to it. It's just what our culture drinks. It's been around since I was a child. We've drank milk. But that doesn't make it, like, what some people would say is I think I'm a better than this culture because I won't drink their milk from a goat. But that's not really true. It's because I think it's gross. It's the same reason why my wife doesn't hate Asian people, because she doesn't like seafood or sushi, you know, that comes from their culture. She just doesn't like seafood, okay? And like, when I was looking at studies on this word, that's kind of how they were putting it, because they had an example of bugs, fried bugs, and how Americans won't eat fried bugs. And they said that means Americans think they're better than those people. And I said, that's just not, that's not true. I don't think that's, I don't know anybody who would think they're better than somebody because they don't like something from somebody else's culture.
Well, Mike, you had a good example in the Dominican Republic when you went there.
Yeah.
About the clothing.
Yeah, so when preparing to go to the Dominican, they told me not to, they told me to only pack one pair of shorts and a t-shirt. And I was, Dominican's a warm climate, and this was summer, so I'm thinking I definitely want to wear shorts and a t-shirt. But they made it clear, nope, you want to wear pants and long sleeve shirts. So as gross as I am, I'm a big man. And when you sweat as a big man, it's disgusting. So I'm this big man wearing long sleeve shirts, like nice button up shirts and jeans and pants in the Dominican Republic. I remember we were like in a prayer circle and I was like praying with people. And I could feel my sweat going into their hands as we're praying. And it was just disgusting. It was like I felt so bad for both people because this sweat is just dripping onto their hands. And those Dominicans, they like to pray. We would be praying for like 30, 45 minutes at a time. And I was profusely sweating in the aisle, the alleyway. So that was something where, we were supposed to accept the cultural identity of what like men were supposed to be like in that culture. So I couldn't just be, because they said only children wore shorts and t-shirts. Men didn't wear those. And so I had to kind of conform to that culture.
So did they give you any other like cultural insights? Like, before we go, here's your cultural instruction.
Oh, there was a ton of them. Yeah, there was a whole list of things that I had to do. I got called out on them a lot. Like, even
Oh, Mike, breaking the culture.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, don't make any promises you can't keep. Like, don't say, like, hey, maybe I'll come visit again.
Oh, okay.
Because they're going to think, if you say that, you're going to come visit.
Okay.
So you had to be very, you had to be very careful what you said. And it was things like, don't touch the animals. They're all a bunch of, you know, like, they aren't cute dogs and cats on the street. Those are all strays. Nobody owns them. They're sickly. Don't touch them. Even if you like animals, don't touch them. And of course, I'm like, come here, puppy. You know, I'm all excited. Like, come here. And they're like, you need to stop, Mike. You can't touch the dog. We told you that.
Stop touching the animals.
It's like, but I like dogs. You know, I just want to cuddle with it. I don't care if its eyes popping out. You know, it's like, it needs love.
Typical American.
That's right. Oh, I really was the typical American.
Ruining the world.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that was a big deal. We had a whole class on how we were supposed to act within their culture.
Okay. So yeah, I think those would be, you know, kind of good examples of sort of what it means, and are we sensitive to that or not, and how we view other cultures. Because I think the reason the bug one is mentioned, that they were talking about, that, you know, eating bugs, is because we might think that's like barbaric, right? Yeah. Or savage or something of that nature.
We're like, bugs.
Wow, what are we, like, back way back in time, where we eat bugs and stuff like that? And, you know, so I see a little bit of that. Sometimes we judge cultures, you know, a little too quickly, and there can be misunderstandings between cultures because of how they view each other.
Well, I mean, we do strange things, too. We burn corn for fuel in America.
Yeah.
I mean, we burn a food to make a fuel. That's pretty strange. I'm sure other people, if they came here and saw that or knew we did that, they'd probably be, I've heard they are a little disgusted by that. Some countries think that's crazy.
Yeah.
We grow food and then we burn it for fuel.
Yeah, we do all kinds of weird stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm sure that doesn't make any sense. Because sometimes it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
So I can imagine somebody from another culture being like, why do they do that? And I'll be like, I know. I know. That's what I've been saying this whole time. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely part. Now, how this is kind of fleshed out. So this is actually an old idea in sociology. I mean, sociology is kind of recent, so it's sort of a new science. Sure. But comparative to other sciences. But this is kind of old in sociology. It's been an idea around for a while. And over time, it's kind of grown and, you know, sort of has like offspring ideas, you know, that kind of branch out into different things. And in our culture today in the United States, its descendants do come up a lot in different forms. And some of them that you may be more familiar with are things like diversity. We talk about diversity a lot. Because the question with this ethnocentrism is sort of how to solve it. Right? Mm-hmm. How do you solve this blindness, this inability to see another's culture as equal to yours, okay, and not look down on it? And so the thought then grows into, well, we need people from these different cultures.
Yeah.
And each culture being, you know, linked together will have a better view of a certain topic. Because the question becomes, who is right, right? If you have two cultures that have a different view on a given topic, well, who's right? Especially when you come to the moral questions, right? We've been talking about chairs eating crickets and stuff. Nothing of necessarily like a moral nature. So the question is, when two cultures differ in morality, well, who's right? And so the idea begins, well, we'll take different views from as many cultures as we can. And the more cultures we get, the better of an understanding of truth we'll have. Okay, that's sort of the idea. Because the only reason you think anything's moral or not moral is based solely on your culture, right? That's the primary method of how you're discerning truth. So from the beginning, you're biased. Right.
Yeah.
And so to find out what the real truth is, you need all these cultures to come together. But then you can divide this even more. Right. Within a culture, you have different subcultures. And within those subcultures, you have more subcultures until you divide it and divide it and get down to each individual has his own bias as to what is the truth about a given thing. And so, if you're going to follow this logic, it leads to, well, you need the viewpoint on any given issue by 7 billion people on the planet, right? In order to have a holistic view of whatever that issue is. And that leads to insanity, right? Yeah. This quickly leads to a never-ending, you know,
it leads to what we see on Facebook every day. it's the comment section online. That's what this leads to.
Yeah.
And if anybody reads comment sections, it's pure insanity in what's written in those comment sections.
And so this is definitely not a way that logically makes sense of finding out truth. You know, right. It's one thing to say that, you know, there's different cultures and that we see things different. Sure.
Yep.
But that you're going to find, how you find truth through this is where things get really weird real fast and turns into an impossibility. And so when you're talking about diversity today, it's still this belief that if you had more of these different cultures, more of these different people groups, then you would understand issues more clearly, right?
Yep.
But again, to what limit do you go with this, right?
Yeah.
Do we go to the 7 billion people limit? Right, of trying to figure this out.
No.
And even then, you could be like, well, you're just being ethnocentric, saying that humans' opinions are the only ones that matter.
Well, and the problem too is, Nathan, do you have any right to speak for another race group or women? Or, you know, you're a white male.
Yep.
Like, you're going to throw your white privilege out there and you think you know better and you've never been persecuted. You know, that's the arguments they're going to make. I'm not saying this is valid, but this is... This is the kind of things they would tell you. You have no right.
Yep.
You only have a certain amount of things you can talk about. Mm-hmm. You have authority over. The rest of the things, though, if it doesn't pertain to you, you can't say nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, you have no right to say anything. And I think that's why we need to put the authority somewhere. Mm-hmm. We need to get the correct authority. And that's, of course, you guys know what the correct authority we're talking about is. But we're not there yet.
Yeah. And so... Yeah, you'll see this diversity, sometimes it's called inclusion, multiculturalism, sometimes you'll see it in social justice, again, the white privilege, the woke movement.
Woke.
Yeah.
I like this next one.
And then Mike found a weird... LGBTQA+, but then he found another
quilt bag.
Quilt bag.
The quilt bag.
It's another acronym.
It's an acronym, and it stands for Queer, Questioning, Undecided, Intersex, Lesbian, Transgender, Transsexual, Bisexual, Allied, Asexual, Gay, Gender, Queer.
So again, why do you need all these subgroups?
Right.
Well, you need that very... variant and perspective, right? If you're following this line of reasoning that this is how you're going to find truth in a better society,
correct,
and, you know, better morality and all those things, you need as many of these subgroups to come together as possible.
Yeah.
Because they're each different, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're going to win by combining all the minority groups. And if you put them all together, it's like a strength in the numbers of minorities. Yeah. Or different subgroups.
Well, yeah, and then you'll have a clearer vision of what to do about a certain problem.
Yeah.
But again, to what end do you take that? Because you can divide it down to the individual.
Yeah.
You know, subgroup. And then how do you have a 7 billion people opinion on any given issue? You know, this leads to an impossible. Not only that, how do you know that it will find truth in the end? Right?
Right.
What leads us to believe that this would find truth? You need some sort of objective truth standard, right? Mm-hmm. If you're going to really be solving these issues. And that should be the Bible, right?
Yes,
that should
be
God and God's word as the objective standard, at least for Christians especially. That's what we're looking to, right?
Yeah, and the Christians, you cannot rely solely on... church doctrine, because church doctrine has a lot of human influence.
Yeah.
It has to be the Bible. Like, that's the ultimate authority. That's the only place that we can stand firmly on to know, like, this truth is the correct truth. And it's also the only way to win the argument against this other idea of having all these individual groups. Because ultimately, you're not standing on yourself of who you are in your identity of, I'm a white American male tech, you know, from who works at a school.
Yep.
No, I'm a Christian. and mm-hmm. the Bible is my authority.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yep.
And that means, though, I need to know what's in the Bible, and I need to stand on those ideas. I can't stand mm-hmm. on my ideas. I can't just say, I'm a Christian, but not actually do what the Bible says.
Yeah. Now, sadly, though, in the church, we see that this idea, a secular idea, is, you know, gaining ground inside Christianity yeah. in certain circles. And sometimes you'll see it, I guess what they're trying to do is sort of bring life back to the church. And so they see these movements happening, and they're like, well, this is where culture is going. These are sort of the new and up-and-coming movements right now with diversity and stuff. And it kind of sounds good, right?
Yeah.
It sounds good in the beginning of, like, well, we do need, like, different perspectives. Mm-hmm. Or we're like, well, yeah. that's a, you know, to have different perspectives seems like a good thing.
Yeah.
And it's not that having different perspectives is a bad thing, but what purpose are you using this for, right?
Mm-hmm.
And where did you get this idea from? That's more of like the issue. Where is the root of this idea? And is it from the Bible? And maybe we should look to the Bible, what it has to say about it.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, just running with something that sounds good,
mm-hmm.
you know, but not really testing it against Scripture. And so I think churches do this to bring life back to their church. I think they ask the question, you know, will this make us more relevant,
yeah.
right, to the culture? If this is what the culture is all about, we need to be engaging in this or, you know, doing this. Or sometimes the church will kind of ask that this will help us make better decisions, right?
Yeah.
In either reaching those people sure. or just as a church in general, managing the community that you have. You need these different, you know, as many different of these subcultures as possible, or different, you know, ethnic groups or whatever. And this will help us, you know, make the best decisions because we'll have a point of view. But again, this is just feeding into that idea,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
This idea that you'll come to a better point of truth because you have more different subcultures. And the question you have to ask is, where is that in the Bible? And is that how we find truth, mm-hmm. according to the Bible, is through getting as many different cultures as possible? I mean, in the New Testament, is this what they were trying to do? They lived in the Roman Empire. This is a very diverse empire full yeah. of people from all kinds of different groups that are combined into this one, you know, empire there. But is Paul like telling the church, you know, telling Timothy, make sure that you have as many different people groups as possible,
no.
or else you guys won't make the right choices and won't be able, you know, to be successful in the church? And I don't see that anywhere being told no. to them. And they would have had people from all different groups. You would yeah. have had slaves mixed with masters, mixed with Jews, mixed with Gentiles. I mean, you yeah. have all these different people groups coming together. There's women and men coming together. And so you have all these different people groups, but I don't see them like saying that we had to get these different people groups or else we couldn't find truth or couldn't find how to make the best decisions.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, again, I'm not sure where they're looking to in Scripture to get these ideas. Yeah. Seems more like they're just adopting.
Yeah, I think they're using more of a logical conclusion of being, it's just more of like a fishing strategy. You know, we're going to use yeah. a different lure to bring people in.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. now that there's more of these, a culture of subgroups, and we are the very diverse culture,
mm-hmm.
well, we want to hit this group,
mm-hmm.
because and to do that, we're going to go ahead and target each one of them individually,
yeah,
instead of just a unified message of the gospel mm-hmm. that we can all stand on and use. Mm-hmm. No, we're going to go ahead and target these individual groups.
Yeah. And then sometimes it's used to in the church to be more accepting of people's varied lifestyle choices, right? If we go back to what, you know, ethnocentrism means, you know, you shouldn't be judging other people's behaviors or, you know, how they live their life. And so we need to be more diverse in this. We need to be more accepting of how other people are living. And it's true as long as it doesn't go against what, right? Against Scripture.
Yeah.
Right? We still are supposed to be a people who are people of the Word, right? People of who are following God's truth. And God's standard is not, you know, compromisable. You have to be following the standard. And if your lifestyle is within those parameters, then, yeah, the church shouldn't care, you know.
Right.
But if what you're doing is against what the Bible says, then there isn't a compromise to be had, you know, there. And, I mean, I see what they're wanting to relate to, you know, just as many groups, people groups as they can. Yeah. It's like an outreach method. But, you know, at what point are we getting sucked in to the world and the way that they do things?
Yeah.
I mean, are we really staying true to what the Bible has to say? And you might feel like we're not as modern, you know, if we're not using these
things. Well, I think the other side might say you're being hateful.
Yeah, that's true.
We're being hateful if we don't accept these groups, which there's never once we're saying we wouldn't accept anybody.
Yeah.
Everybody is accepted. Ridiculous. Everyone.
Yeah. That's clearly stated in the Bible. It's not, you know, it's not new. You know, Christianity's been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the idea that, you know, if you're not on this, then you're just living in some sort of, in your ignorance then, you know, because you're not jumping on the bandwagon with, you know, the world as they pursue this, which is really a dead end belief. I mean, as we just laid out, to what extent do you go, right?
Right.
It eventually leads to insanity.
I mean, if you're going to conform to the world's ideas on this, how do you expect anybody to come into your church and conform to the Bible?
Yeah.
You're already conforming to their ideas. They're not going to come and show up and conform to yours.
Yeah.
I mean, you're throwing away the gospel for some strange idea the culture presents to you. They're going to expect you to continue to do that. They're going to expect you to conform to everything they're saying. And if you want to go down that road, go for it. Good luck. But you're ultimately going to fail. Because there's no Jesus in that. That's not a Christ-centered, kingdom-centered message. That's an earthly message that ultimately is going to lead to destruction for possibly you and them.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of, like, well, you know, we talked earlier about going to war of ideas. That's not the kind of ideas you want to stand with.
Yeah, definitely.
So what verse do we keep talking about, like, oh, well, the Bible's clear on this, but we haven't even referenced a verse. What verse is it?
Oh, there's all kinds
of verses. Some really good ones. But there's one that's so clear, and we actually hit this verse when we talked about racism. That was like many moons ago we talked about racism. That was one of our first podcasts.
Yep.
But this verse, Colossians, you know, 3:10-11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it reads, and it's just talking about, and you put on the new self. So it's talking about the new self and what this transformation brings, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So as Christians, we are being renewed, where we have this new self. We've laid aside the old us, the old self, and we're being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. And here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. So in Christianity, it's not let's collect all the cultural groups. It's that they're gone. There is no cultural groups. You are now part of a new group called the Kingdom of God.
Yes.
And this is the only thing that is going to last and is eternal.
That's right.
And so, you know, Paul's laying out here, if you guys have really become these new people, you're taking off this old way of thinking, this old way of being, right? These social constructs you've grown up in are now dissolved. There is no Greek. There is no Jew, right? In the Greek, that's what it says. There That's is right. not these things. They don't exist mm. anymore. It's not that, yeah, you are a Greek Christian or a Jewish Christian or a barbarian Christian. You are not these things. They yeah. don't exist anymore. They're part of the world that is passing away. The answer isn't, hey, how many cultural views can we get together? There's only one view that matters, and that's Christ. And right. are we a part of that view or not? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. So, yes, it's true. We aren't to bring our culture's bias into things. But the cultural bias we're talking about is, for us, American bias, right?
Yeah.
We are to be shedding off these things because right. it's part of the old self and the old way. It's part of the earth, right? But as Christians, we're to be putting on this new bias that is of Christ. We have found our objective truth, right? We don't mm-hmm. have to have all these cultures that try to find truth. We have truth, right? Truth is yeah. in Christ. And that's laid out, I mean, abundantly clear as to how this is going to work. So this is why in the New Testament period, you had slaves with masters. Everybody is equal, right, at the foot of the yes, cross, is right. what they say. And this was true, and this was written about. This was seen as terrible to the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was seen as like a terrible thing to do, even to the Jewish people, right? You're eating with Greeks. What's wrong with you? You know, why are you being with the Gentiles?
Yeah.
This type of thing. But Christianity was like, nope, we're getting rid of these things. This is how true unity is going to happen.
Mm. Yep.
So, again, whose plan are you following? If you're trying to keep all these different cultural identities, then you're on the wrong path. That path does not lead yep. to what the kingdom says and offers. And, you know, that Christians and the church has, like, somehow forgotten this is shocking.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're hearing Christian leaders talking and they're jumping completely on this bandwagon of saying, yep, we need to get as many of these different cultures as possible together, and then this will help us have a better church. What did we just sell out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. we literally sold out the greatest message of all time, the greatest way of life of all time for that.
Right.
Are you kidding me? Especially when you know who came up with, you know, ethnocentrism. I mean, not a guy you want to follow.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pick Jesus over that guy any day of the week.
Right.
It just, I don't know, it blows my mind.
Yeah.
Blows my mind.
So yeah, this verse says we are a new self. And would you really want anything from your old self? I mean, do we really want to identify by the things the culture wants to identify us as?
Yeah.
Like, is there really that good? Is it really that good of a thing of who I am or who I was? But we should be a glimmer of what that was. Mm-hmm. Just something, it was more of a past reflection. And people remember who I was, but really they see who I am. It's when we look in the mirror, we aren't supposed to see ourselves. We're supposed to see an image of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And our old selves should just be a memory for everybody. They remember the old Mike, you know, and maybe you can joke around about the old Mike or the old Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, they see Jesus in you now, and that's how we should be. And if we all looked at each other that way, as we see Christ in each other, and we don't see these outwardly, you know, mm-hmm. we aren't seeing this race, you know, we are not seeing them as what religious group they may have been part of,
mm-hmm.
but we see them for who they're supposed to be, who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, just even the whole New Testament, the Greek and Jew thing, you know, you can tell that was a huge problem in the church.
Yeah.
They were always trying to divide, and the Jews kept thinking their superiority mm-hmm. over the Greeks or the Gentiles. They mm-hmm. were, you know, they were the holy people,
mm-hmm.
and the Greeks couldn't be.
Yeah.
And they cleared that up and said, yep. no, we're yep. all, you yep. know, we're all now mm-hmm. in this. This is not just a Jew thing.
Yep.
The Jews are not greater. You don't need to be circumcised anymore.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of your law restrictions, they're gone, okay?
Yeah.
This is a new gospel.
Yeah.
This is now, Jesus is now the law. He is the new law, and that's mm-hmm. what we're going to follow.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, ethnic groups and stuff like that, this is nothing new. It's been around forever.
Yeah.
You know, but how we choose to deal with these issues you know, is the real question, are we following Scripture or not?
Right, and it has the church done well with this even in the past? You know, a few examples that hit me while studying this. Children in India, they said, we've brought the gospel to the people of India, but then they asked children who Jesus is, and they've asked them to draw a picture, and Jesus to them is a white man with long hair, you know?
Yeah, blue eyes,
yeah, white man. And of course, that's not, you know, that's not completely accurate of what Jesus would be. He's probably a Middle Eastern, mm-hmm. you know, brownish man, my guess. Mm-hmm. That'd be my guess, living on the region, the where he lived in the world. Mm-hmm. Another one was these prosperity preachers. Their goal is to spread the gospel, their gospel, across the world, so they shoot them out in radio waves to these islanders. Mm-hmm. And so then they went to these islanders, and these islanders did hear the message. They heard the messages that these radio preachers wanted them to hear, and they thought they were cursed because they were so poor.
Okay.
They thought they...
Oh, no.
Yeah. So they thought they were these cursed people because they heard this message about how God's going to provide and give you riches and take care of everything mm-hmm. for you, and you were going to be wealthy. And they're like, well, what did we do?
Yeah.
We heard about your God, but your God only cares and loves rich people.
Yeah.
Doesn't love us.
Yeah.
That's a terrible example of what can happen if we're trying to...
Yeah.
You know, reach these certain types of people. Mm-hmm. And then just the Western church model, you know, I was talking about the Dominican trip, you know, me going to Dominican, how I was told I had to be a certain way. But nobody was telling me, hey, Mike, go be Christ to these people. That was never told to me. They said, make sure you're wearing pants.
Yeah, make sure
you're wearing wear pants. Shorts.
Yeah, I mean, what Christianity are we bringing over, right? Are we bringing over an American version, or is it just Christian, right? Mm-hmm. Are we sticking just to what the Bible says? Or are we looking at how somebody else does something and saying, no, you can't do it that way, when, you know, the Bible doesn't say anything? But right. Again, what are we going back to? This is the question. What's going to help us isn't we need to get as many cultural identities possible together right. to view this issue.
Yeah.
It's... We check it against Scripture. If it doesn't break anything in Scripture, then it's within the realm of reason, you know, that you can do this.
Yeah.
You know, Christianity has plenty of room for you can sing a psalm however you want.
Yeah.
You know, there is no rules on, like, well, you have to stand there, sway a little bit back and forth, and make sure you have an electric guitar, or whatever it is. Make sure you have an organ in place. And
well, they didn't have electric guitars, so that means you can't use one. No.
So, I mean, it doesn't matter. Again, the thing that's said is that you are to be praising and singing and those type of things.
Yeah.
That's mentioned in the Bible. But how you do this, you know, there's plenty of freedom in that.
Yeah.
If you were saying, no, you have to do it this certain way our church does it, you know, obviously that doesn't, there's nothing in Scripture to back that up. To me, that's the problematic thing. But again, there are sometimes cultures, for instance, I've heard about outreach in India where they'll say, well, we couldn't reach these people unless we got the Father. Because if you got the Father, then the rest of the family would go. So they'd baptize the Father, and then the whole family would get baptized. And then they'd be like, man, look how big a conversion rate we have. Because if you're baptizing families, that's a lot bigger than just going individual by individual. Because think about that. You get however big their family is, you know, all you got to do is get the patriarch.
Right.
And once you got him, boom, domino effect. You know, you got all of them. And so you could get, you know, huge, huge amounts of people real quick doing it that way. But, again, does that make sense with Scripture?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We'd have to check, like, okay, are these people, do they really know what they just signed up for?
Yeah.
Right? Do they really know what Christianity is? Because each one of them has to die to self. It's not just their dad. And, you know, it's not just one person, you know, and the whole family gets in free, too. It's not like that. And so we got to make sure that we're not just settling for, well, this is the way their culture does it. Just like we shouldn't be settling for the things in our culture as well. We need to make sure that we're getting out of these cultures and getting into the kingdom.
Yeah,
that should be the primary focus of Christianity.
Yeah, these Eastern arguments versus Western arguments.
Yeah.
Don't mean anything.
No.
It should just be kingdom arguments.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
What's the kingdom? Are we part of the kingdom? Are we living for the kingdom?
Yep.
Or are we building the Western American church?
Yeah.
That's what we do not want to do.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And another thing I'll hear is like the fear of like the Southern Hemisphere becoming where the dominant, you know, place of Christianity be. And so that would be like Africa and in Asia and stuff like that. That's going to be where the most Christians are. And, you know, who cares?
Right. That's a good thing.
Who cares if that's where it's at? Yeah. You know, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, we shouldn't be threatened by the idea of, like, missionaries coming to America.
Yeah.
To convert people. Yeah. That's great.
Spread the gospel. Yeah. Like, that is our mission.
Yeah.
We don't care where you are from.
If a people group is doing it better than us, then we should join and figure out what they're doing. Like, if they're kingdom-minded people, that's great.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be intimidated thinking, oh, no, we're going to do it better. We're the better church.
Yep.
And we're going to get it right. Mm-hmm. We got it right. They don't. No, that's great. That's the world. It should be a unified world kingdom.
Be. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. It should be. We shouldn't care. You know, we're all part of the kingdom. And that's in the end, that's how it is.
Yes.
There's only one kingdom left on the world, and we're all going to be together. Like, that is that is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Right.
So, like, why would we care? You know, that is what we hope.
Yeah.
We hope it spreads over the world and takes over.
Right.
I don't know.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. There's hundreds and thousands of podcasts out there, but you chose to listen to ours.
If you have any questions, concerns, or ideas regarding our podcast, please email us at biblicallogic@gmail.com. That's biblicallogic@gmail.com.
But seriously, email us.
Seriously.
We want to talk to people who listened. Like, please tell us you're listening. Like, come and tell us what you like, you dislike. We're really serious about that.
Yeah. Especially, if you have any questions or like, well, what about this?
Yeah.
You know, definitely email us.
Call us out if there's a verse we're missing. And if you think we totally missed it on something, because we would rather you continue to listen and call us out than stop listening just because you're offended by something we said.
Yeah.
Like, literally, we want to have that dialogue. Mm-hmm. Like, we want to talk to you about stuff.
Yep.
So if you like our podcast, share it with a friend or give us a like wherever you're listening.
Keep fighting the good fight of faith. And thanks for listening to the Third Option Podcast.